I want to take a moment this morning as, again, welcome everybody. Good to see you. I just want to do a quick review today and talk about something very quick. We've been on this series about the Holy Spirit, which we believe is very, very vital for Christian life, and totally believe that to be a successful Christian, you cannot be a successful Christian without the help or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely impossible. And so it's very, very important that you know who the Holy Spirit is so you can be a successful Christian. I believe that everyone here wants to be a successful Christian, right? Nobody wants to be a failing Christian, right? You know what a failing Christian is? Say one thing, does another thing, right? Have two personalities. They have one for the church and one for the week. You know what I'm saying? That's a failing Christian. But a successful Christian is one that is the same at church or away from church. Amen. You know, they live the same lifestyle. So that's what we talk about, the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely impossible. It is really hard to do Christianity without the help of the Holy Spirit. This Bible, you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. So this is why this has been very important. The key scripture that really, the fundamental scripture we've been holding on to is 2 Corinthians 13:14. This is the goal. This is what we've been talking about. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which everybody understands. The love of God, which many people do know, and the fellowship. And that's what many people lack, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship. A lot of people know about God the Father. They know about Jesus. But when you talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you're like speaking Greek to them. They don't know what that means. They've never experienced that. And when we started this series, I begged most of you, or all of you, and I said, if you can do anything to be here, these are the series that I would ask for your commitment. No matter what, try to be here, because this is very pivotal in your Christian life. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship. That means God is in heaven. Jesus died and went back to heaven. And then he gave me the Holy Spirit right here. I got to have fellowship with him right here. So Jesus is in heaven. God is in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is here with me.
Yes.
So I got to have fellowship with him. And we talked about, in order to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we need to know who the Holy Spirit is. So we said the Holy Spirit is God.
That's right.
And this is important for you to know, because there is some sects of Christianity that teach the Holy Spirit is not a person and is not God. I don't know if you heard of the Unitarian. They don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person, and they don't believe he's God. They believe the Holy Spirit is a force of God or an energy. They don't believe he's a person. And Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, those cults do not believe the Holy Spirit is God. They don't believe he's a person. So we've gone through that. We've seen many verses. So if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, who he is, go online and listen to that message. And then we talked about the nature of the Holy Spirit. And we said that nature is the way of life, okay? Nature, how he operates, his characteristics. You got to know that, because I use the analogy of marriage when we were studying this. I say a successful marriage are two people that not only are attracted to each other, but they have learned how to adjust their natures to fit each other. Because when you come to get married, two people come from different backgrounds, different natures. But in order for that marriage to stand and succeed, these people learn how to adjust their nature. As years go by, they adjust to fit into each other. But a marriage that breaks, or divorce, like, no, I'm same old, no, I'm not changing, I am who I am. And then they were attracted to each other, but now there is, the natures are colliding. And that marriage will fail. So in order for me to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I need to know his nature, because if I don't know his nature, I'm not going to be able to walk with him and have fellowship with him, because he is sovereign, meaning he's God. He doesn't adjust his nature to fit my preference. I know his nature, so I adjust my nature to fit his nature so we can walk together. Make sense? So more on that message, you can go online and listen on that. So today, I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, but here's what's going on. This is pretty interesting. So I'm not going to give you the entire message today. You are going to help me come up with this message today.
Come on.
I'm going to give you a little bit, but we are all going to work today. So we'll do some work today on this, and then we'll finish up next week. Get it?
Amen.
And after that, we'll talk about what it means to be filled in the Holy Spirit. I mean, so how do you get filled and how do you stay filled? We'll talk about that. And finally, we'll talk about how to walk. This is the goal, how to walk with the Spirit. That is fellowship in the Holy Spirit. So I'm trying to go line upon line, precept upon precept, one step after the other. But the end goal is that you and I can walk in the Spirit. Got it? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So today, as we talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, we'll start it today and finish it next week. But here's what I want you to know. Do you remember when we talked about the nature of the Holy Spirit? We talked about his characteristics. You remember that last Sunday? We said he likes to be unpredictable. So don't try to box the Holy Spirit and put him in a cage, okay? And then we say he likes it when we acknowledge our weakness. You understand that? You can't. If you know you're weak, you need him, he's going to come alongside you. And then we said he likes it when you're all in. All in. You know, you're on Team Jesus. He's the coach. Got to be all in, and he's going to have your back. All right? The Holy Spirit doesn't really get all in if you're not all in. All right? Get it? And then we talked about he likes a clean tongue. So that's important. So the Holy Spirit gets offended when you throw out bad words, especially when they catch you in traffic or, you know, or some people cat in front of you or honk at you, you know, and you say some bad words. You know what you do? You just say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. I just say, Lord, a bad word. Forgive me, fill me up again. You understand? So you just keep going, but you gotta know he's not cool with bad words. You know, he doesn't like you calling people names. You know, he wants you to call them by their names. So when you call them names, just get back, repent, ask him to help you and fill you again. Get it? You just move on. And then he likes the way of love. So if I'm gonna stay in love, walk in love, the Holy Spirit is gonna walk with me. Now, as we talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, this is what I want to start with, and then I'll let you guys do the rest of it. His number one role is to bring us to salvation. Period. If we don't get this, everything else we're going to talk about really won't help us. The number one role of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to salvation. You know Jesus, you love being Jesus. The reason why you want to be here, the reason why you came here, it wasn't your own power, it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the desire to love Jesus.
Yeah.
You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit, and you can't be here if the Holy Spirit didn't encourage you to be here today. Here's a scripture I want you to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Watch this. It says, for God who saved, let light shine out of darkness. Made. See that word? Made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. In other words, God himself made us. He made us. He made his light to shine. We didn't make that light to shine in our hearts. He made the light to shine. When you say, I've seen the light, you know, the old school people that say, I've seen the light, I now love Jesus. Well, he made that light to shine in your heart about Jesus. He made it. He gave you the knowledge of wanting to know Jesus. How does this work? The Holy Spirit convicts you of the state of your sin, and he convicts you of your need for Jesus. Inside you, remember how you got saved. You're like, man, there's gotta be some more. I feel like I need to fix my life. I feel like I gotta know Jesus. All that, even before you knew any single verse in the Bible,
Amen.
Was the Holy Spirit working in you.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? So that whole work is the Holy Spirit. He made us, guys. Now, you're going to sit here and you're like, man, I'm so thankful that I am saved because God made me. Now, look at this verse. Jesus said in John 6:44. Now, watch this. Jesus says, for no one, that includes you.
Come on.
Right? No one can come to me.
Amen.
No one can come to the Father unless the Father. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. Think about that. You cannot come to Jesus unless the Father initiates it and draws you to Him. So I cannot be saved unless God has mercy on me and draws me and causes His light to shine in me. So I am not saved by my own efforts. He did it. You're not sitting in this church right now because you had a good mind on, you had a good head on, screwed up on your head, or you had a good head over your body. I mean, you're not here because you're here because God called you.
That's right.
And that's what it says. You cannot come to me. Jesus says you can't come to me unless the Father. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. Check this out. I have another one more verse here. John 15:16. He says, you did not choose me. Think about that, man. You did not choose me.
Amen.
But I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and fruit should remain. Jesus says, so here's how it all begins. Now, if you want to walk with the Holy Spirit, you're like, man, this is huge because I did not choose me. He chose me. I could not see why I need Jesus except that He helped me to see why I need Jesus. I could not want to give Him my heart unless He helped me see the need for Him in my heart. I know you're all here today. You have people in your life that to be in church is the farthest thing in the mind.
Yes.
You know people that if you told them you're going to church, they'll be like, why?
Right.
You know people that if you told them you read your Bible, they'll think, what for?
Very good point.
You got people that even if you tell them what Jesus has done for you, they'll still not get it.
Amen.
There are people out there that the mercies of God haven't reached to them. But God says, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. And I think that is if a lot of Christians understood that, it would change how you walk. I think the reason why many times we play with our Christianity and take it lightly and not be fully in and not be wholeheartedly in and really have no fellowship with God is because we don't understand the power of choice that God had to extend on us.
Yes.
That He could choose somebody else, but He chose you.
Yes.
He could have chosen someone else, but He called you by, He said, you're mine. And then there are many called and I've been chosen. And, you know, one of the verses Jesse read, I think the first week was from Hebrews, that said, for some people it's going to be worse because they knew and turned away. Because I think what God is going to say, you didn't realize how great it was that I chose you and you still walked away. This is huge, man, to understand this because this makes you want to know the Holy Spirit. You're like, I was chosen. God called me. I mean, you didn't make it. You didn't make this thing up by yourself to be saved and want to be in church. It is all His work.
Right, right.
It's, okay, we'll continue that. Now look at that. Now, if all began with him, it's going to end with him. And it says, and we, not everybody, and we, who with unveiled faces, unveiled means the veil's been taken off, now we can see, right? All reflect the glory of the Lord. Yes. Check that verse out. Look at that. A what? Look at that. Everybody say that. A being? I can't hear you. Can you read? Being transformed. Okay. Now we were transformed. No, we are being. It's continuous. It is ongoing process into the image of Jesus. That's what his image means. Means Jesus, right? With intensifying glory. So God is like, I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm not holding back. And then he says, which comes from the Lord. Who is what? The Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He is transforming you. So the Holy Spirit came, like Jesus says, I've chosen you. The Holy Spirit is like, oh, I'm here for you. And my job as the Holy Spirit is to transform you into the likeness of Jesus. Continuously keep working on you, being transformed into his image. Your being. You understand? He's working. And who does that? The Spirit.
Amen.
Now, here's where you need to help me today now.
We had Isaiah 59. How he comes. He comes like a rushing wind, or he comes like a rushing stream.
Yeah.
So when he comes in ways, when I was looking at these scriptures, in different ways. He's leading, he's talking, and he comes as a rushing stream.
Yeah.
So he's very much, I wrote down at the very end, the word of Papa, he's just very active. And you're right, we can't put him in that box that you talked about, right?
Right,
he's
right.
He's doing it a certain way. He comes and leads and talks in different ways, and we need to be open to those.
And Isaiah 59, was that a scripture that says when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard? Yeah. Is that the one? 59:19.
Isaiah 59:19. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west.
Okay.
And his glory from the rising sun, for he will come like a rushing stream.
Right, right.
The wind of the Lord drives.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit comes like a stream. Flows. And a stream, you can't direct a stream. It flows the way it wants, right? Wherever it's easiness, where there's an easy flow. So when I allow the Holy Spirit to easily flow in my life, he'll come. If I harden my heart, then he's not going to flow there. Does that make sense? If I become hard-headed in my walk with him, he's just going to be like, all right, I'm going to flow somewhere else. Awesome. Thank you, guys. He leads, he talks. All right. Okay, you guys go now.
You're the intellectual.
We heard that.
Okay, did you want us to read the scriptures?
No, you don't have to read the scriptures. You can just let us know what you got out of those verses. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, out of the scriptures we had, it says pretty much is that the Holy Spirit guides and leads you.
Okay.
We kind of felt like that was too vague.
Okay.
So I think what we were able to agree upon is that when the Holy Spirit leads you, there's always some type of challenge or something. So when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, it's also to overcome something.
Okay.
So it's like if you're being led to a challenging situation or if the Holy Spirit is leading you, then he's like leading you to be able to make the right decision.
Okay.
To help you build character to be able to walk with the Holy Spirit.
Right. Good. Good. That's good. Anyone else wants to add on some?
Oh, that's what we agreed.
Okay. 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 All right. Okay. Okay.
All of us.
Okay. All right. All right. That table there. Tom, you guys are ready? Okay.
Well, we were thinking best way would be to read the scriptures.
Yes.
Because we have like the international table here, and we feel like these scriptures are leading us into like an international experience.
Okay.
So if that's okay, Carl. First one is Acts 1:18.
Acts 1:18 says, with the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas' body healed. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out.
So that's it with that. And here's Romans 15:13, and it will be in Spanish, but we'll give you an English translation as well.
Y el Dios de la esperanza os llenó de todo gozo, paz en el creer para que abundéis en esperanza por el poder del Espíritu Santo.
Now remember, we had two lovely Latina voices reading that. And I'm sorry, so we didn't get Cleo on reading there, but she was phenomenal as well. The English translation of Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So perhaps you're picking up on this, but just to drive it home with the other scriptures in our group, Micah 3:8 says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin." And remember how much the Lord loves Israel, and has to coax Israel on in their love and faithfulness with him. And so Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And so we're reflecting what we may have started in the pits of hell. I mean, Judas gaining what he gained and dying in the field of blood that's known today. That's pretty bleak. But the hope of the freedom of the clarity of life and death is available to us in the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." Is there any doubt that the scripture says, "And now the Lord is that Spirit, that the three are one"? This is my commentary, by the way, sorry. "In the Word, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty."
Amen.
So
yeah.
Hopefully by the reading of the scripture and highlighting a few things, you've gotten the gist of these scriptures and the power and the role of the Holy Scripture. It's a sober thing, folks. It's a sober thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying that as a man who was committed to being here yesterday and did not show up. That's my humanness. But the Lord gives me a chance to stand up and be with my brethren, be with the Word, and be in the church practice. So it's not something I did lightly.
Good. All right. And I also want to apologize that Acts 1 should have been Acts 1:8, not 1:18. So. Yeah, so
pretty heavy duty. Though.
Yeah. Okay, if you want to read it, go ahead.
Okay, so this is my translation. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth."
So what do you think is the role of the Holy Spirit from that?
It just talks about the universal power and effectiveness
yeah.
of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
To reach all those areas where God chooses to reside,
right.
including in our own domain that He's given us.
Yes. So He empowers us. He empowers us to live the Christian life and also to be witnesses of the gospel. All right. Next table.
Ours was Romans 8:15, Ephesians 1:13, and Ephesians 2:18. So Romans 8:15 talks about we are adopted by God, and because of that, we are free from the spirit of fear. So it was a very timely verse. Ephesians 1:13 talked about we are sealed by by the Holy Spirit, which is pretty awesome. Like, we're walking in this world and we have a seal of God.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Sci-fi stuff, but pretty cool. Ephesians 2:18 is also another very powerful scripture that says we have access to God 24/7.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we have answers. We have a go-to person.
Right.
Constantly. And he knows everything. And so really powerful scriptures.
Yes. Guys, you hear that? I mean, do you hear? Isn't that?
Yes.
Amen. To, you have a seal of God by the Holy Spirit on you.
Can you say that? Have you ever seen like the movie Bubble Boy?
No, I have not.
Oh, wow.
Well, Bubble Boy, his mom was like, so she didn't want him to be in the world with all the bacteria and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he was never allowed to leave the house. But when he did leave the house, it was like this huge bubble that he had to leave in.
Oh, John.
Okay.
And so when I see that, like, you know, when you do your prayer and it's like, God, please show me my day. It's
yeah.
almost like you have this big ball around you.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Right, yeah. That is good.
Then that's how I see that you have this aura that's blocking you.
Right. That is awesome. Good, good analogy. Thank you for sharing that.
We discovered sort of a pattern in all of these things that we have read.
Yeah.
Yolanda had Isaiah 61:1 in the Old Testament, and Luke says virtually the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, also. And, but I guess I will just sort of summarize all of what we discovered. In getting from Luke, we were anointed.
Yeah.
You know, it says the Lord has anointed me to preach.
Yeah.
That's a special calling.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon
yes.
me.
And a special, you know, preparation for you. You know, you are prepared to do this. You are enabled. You may be given strength to do it. Strength to even, you know, combat those who don't want to see the message anywhere.
Yeah.
But there is a preparation through him. This is his anointed name. And we found that this told us what you would be doing and to whom you would be doing it, to whom you are sent to minister. So you're anointed, and it says to proclaim, which is preaching, proclaim, telling forth
right.
what God has said, talking about freedom.
Yeah.
To who? Prisoners. It may be prisoners in the jail for debt. It may be prisoners who are addicted in some way, or something evil is taking a hold of them to do things that are not good. Prisoners of the mind, yes.
Yeah.
And it says also healing, you know, or what is the word, not necessarily, restoration.
Right.
You know, so restoration to those who are sick or ill. And but a broken in some way, broken in soul.
Yeah.
You know, and also to release the oppressed.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that you've just been let out of jail for a week, but you're released from this. There is a totality here in what is talking about it.
Right, right.
You know, he's not ineffective.
Yes.
And also the thing he says to proclaim the year of the Lord. And we notice that you know, this proclamation has come to us. What is happening in history?
Uh-huh.
You know, when is he coming? What signs will you see? Don't be ignorant of them, but pay attention to them.
Yeah.
So these are the ways, and important to us also, we also found in Acts, it says, keep watch over the flock.
Yeah.
So you're not just told this stuff, somebody told you 3 weeks ago and all of that, but you teach and you keep teaching and you keep watching over the flock, you know.
Right.
And so this is what we think that this set of verses is pointing to.
That's good. No, that's pretty deep. That's all the work of the Holy. Do you guys catch that? Okay, I hope you did, because this is so much goodness, you know. Okay, can you get the mic, please, Dion?
Okay, I'm gonna talk really loud because I got a couple of scriptures to put down.
Okay, they're trying to record it, so talk a little loud, yeah.
On the other part of what Mary had just mentioned on Acts 28, that scripture stands out in that what's key here is that it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of.
Right.
Well, right there, I mean, that's a part of him choosing you, that you were selected. And then in Acts 13:2, here again, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, let me start again. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So here again, it's a chosen thing. The Holy Spirit is a helper, and he's pursuing an advocate for Jesus. He says, I chose you.
Right.
So it all kind of comes full circle that it's your chosen.
Yeah.
He's a helper that delegates what Jesus has for you.
Yeah. Very good. Wow.
It's getting deep in here today.
What's that?
It's getting deep in here today.
You say it's deep in here today?
Deep.
Oh, it's getting in.
Yeah.
Deep in here. Well, here's the thing. You got to have a desire to know more of him, to know more of this. And he's like a river. He flows. There is freedom from every oppression. There's freedom from every addiction.
Yes.
Like, I mean, any addiction, either cigarette, tobacco, alcohol, you know, drugs, food, all that. The power of the Holy Spirit can break it.
Yes.
There's a power that the Holy Spirit brings to break it. That's where he sets the oppressed free. Let the oppressed go free. What I'm saying is, you can't let me have your attention, Tony. You cannot experience this, the blessedness of salvation, if you don't open up to the Holy Spirit and want to know more. There's so much in there for us as Christians. And I want to encourage you, you know, take a snapshot of those scriptures. We're going to talk more about this next Sunday. But go read them. Just sit on them and read them. And the Holy Spirit begin to teach you. I mean, there's struggles in my life that I couldn't break on my own. And it wasn't until I began knowing about the Holy Spirit that I was able to be free in my own life from some struggles and things that you call addiction to be broken away. It wasn't by my own powers. It was totally by the Holy Spirit. So